Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911. My name is Jesse Romero, One Man Car. Just want to start off with the St. Michael the Archangel prayer. For all of us and for the situation in our country so that we can restore law and order, that Amy Comey Barrett could be installed as a Supreme Court justice, that President Trump wins. I can't imagine what this country will be like under a Biden presidency, which I'm going to talk about right now from a law enforcement perspective. Name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Here's another deliverance prayer. It's called the Anima Christi. It's actually a deliverance prayer as well. And so we pray, soul of Christ, sanctify me. Body of Christ, save us. Blood of Christ, inebriate us. Water from the side of Christ, wash us. Passion of Christ, strengthen us. O good Jesus, hear us. Within your wounds, hide us. Separate it from you, let us never be. From the evil one, protect us. At the hour of our death, call us and close to you. Keep us, that with your angels and saints, we may be praising you forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, we talk about spiritual warfare. The spiritual warfare that we're dealing with right now is we're seeing an infiltration of communism into our country. Basically, the only thing that can hold back this communism is President Trump and the Catholic faith. And I say this because it's very, very disconcerting to see all the anti-Catholic bigotry coming up against Catholic Amy Coney Barrett just because President Trump has nominated her to the Supreme Court. I'm reminded by an article that was just put out by the New York Times columnist Elizabeth Brunig. She stated the following, quote, Judge Barrett's nomination has merely renewed attention to a fundamental conflict centuries underway between Catholicism and the American ethos, close quote. Did you hear what the New York Times just said? That the Catholic faith is essentially incompatible with the American way of life. That's exactly what Elizabeth Brunig said, a New York Times columnist. At least I appreciate that the gloves are off. I mean, she's being pretty upfront about her anti-Catholic bigotry. But this is the work of Satan. Because the only thing holding back full evil from taking over this country and this world is the Catholic faith. And we have all these anti-Catholics, Marxist pariahs who consider Catholicism an enemy of the state. I'm hearkening back to going down memory lane, thinking about Archbishop who should be St. Fulton Sheen. I remember when he dominated the airwaves from 1952 to 1956. He had an incredible show. It was full of truth and virtue. It was called Life is Worth Living. It was the number one rated show in the early 50s. In fact, Bishop Sheen even won the Emmy Award for the Most Outstanding Television Personality the first year that the show was broadcast. Venerable Fulton Sheen, he was an American-born, Catholic-formed, PhD in Thomistic philosophy. And he was a patriot. He loved this country, and he was a very strong proponent against communism, against communism. He was an anti-communist zealot, and he often railed against the evils of Marxism. In fact, most people don't realize, talk about spiritual warfare. Archbishop Fulton Sheen, on television, on the air, he said about the Soviet dictator, Joseph Stalin. Bishop Fulton Sheen said on television, he says, quote, Stalin must one day meet his judgment, close quote. Guess what happened? The next week after Fulton Sheen said that, Stalin dropped dead of a stroke. And of course, that's been a long time ago, probably some 70 years ago. And as a result, since then, a lot of communism, by way of Marxism, Marxist philosophy, has crept into the United States. And what do we see? We see chaos. We see virtue leaving schools. We see all these widespread ills in our society. We see broken homes, shattered families, acceptance of homosexuality and abortion as a common surgical procedure. We see fatherless homes. This is precisely the evils that Sheen was talking against. We're like a nation right now, basically on a life support system. And I'm glad that we have people of goodwill on the other side as well, on the other side of the religious aisle. The Protestants, this past week, they just had a prayer rally. And apparently they got tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people. It was organized by Franklin Graham. And I'm grateful that the Protestants did their own prayer rally. I'm sure a lot of Catholics were there as well. But here's where we're at right now. Anti-Catholicism right now is etched into the fabric of Joe Biden's campaign and the Democrat Party. And I don't know if you realize that President Trump actually came out last week to defend us as Catholics. Yep. He actually had to come out this past weekend and address the entire topic of anti-Catholicism. And let's just be honest. This is the final battle here. The arena of politics, this is where Satan, this is how he moves. And we have to win here, because if not, there's going to be a Marxist takeover. And time will tell if how many faithful Catholics stand up for our faith or not. I mean, consider the fact that there's almost 100 Catholic parishes or shrines around the country that have been vandalized and some destroyed this year as a result of Black Lives Matter and Antifa thugs. And we see basically crickets on the other side. They don't say nothing. Joe Biden is quiet, and so is Kamala Harris about these attacks on the Catholic Church. You also see faithful Catholics having been insulted. They're spit on at pro-life sessions or vilified by the media for defending Catholic teachings. All this is going to exacerbate if Joe Biden wins. Trust me, it's going to increase. Anti-Catholicism will be official under Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. In fact, Catholics will probably be considered enemies of the state. And the reason is because they've already taken over our colleges. They've already taken over many of our seminaries as a result of the sexual revolution that's infiltrated virtually everything. We have doctrinal, liturgical, financial, and sexual confusion right now, and corruption in the church. And the church is the pillar and foundation of truth. This is the bride of Christ. And this giant structure of the church in America, it's been constructed right from the very beginning. But it could take one generation to dismantle all of this. The hard work of 244 years of constructing the Catholic faith in this country. You see the enemies of Christ, the Democrat Party, Joe Biden, dismantling what's taken 244 years to build. Yep, Joe Biden is a champion of the Marxist. He's the model of everything that the current American ethos is all about. He's an apostate Catholic. He's a fake Catholic. And the fact is, I'll tell you, if we as Catholics don't understand what we're in right now, if Catholics who actually believe, we need to understand that everything's at stake right now. And this is not going to get any easier. I'll tell you something. It was very interesting that Telemundo last night, they put out a statement right after the debate, after the President Trump-Joe Biden debate. And Telemundo said that according to their poll. And Telemundo is a leftist organization. So the fact that they would put this out, you know, makes me happy, puts a smile on my face, I'll tell you, because they said that 66% of the Hispanics, Latinos, that answered the poll on Telemundo last night, 66% of the Hispanics are going to vote for Trump. And 34% of the Hispanics on Telemundo last night are going to vote for Biden. That's a huge flip. Why do you think Hispanics are going to go for Biden based on Telemundo's poll last night, right after the debate? I'll tell you why. Because when Hispanics heard that Trump, that Biden wants to shut down the economy and have us wear masks for the next 4 years, and when they heard that Trump is trying to open up the economy, fighting tooth and nail against the Democrats, guess what? Hispanics are big into small businesses. They're not government workers by and large. They're small business people. And when they heard that Biden is going to lock this country down again and continue this mask charade, oh, that's going to flip the Hispanic vote, because Hispanics are small business people. And also, I'll tell you one thing Hispanics do like, and they saw it last night's debate. Hispanic men, especially the men, they like strong men. They like strong leaders. They saw that. They see that in President Trump. They don't see that in sleepy Joe Biden. Jesus 911, Jesse Romero, One Man Car. I'm going to talk about next. Does the devil assign a demon to torment us? Think about that. Stick around. Don't turn that dial.
Jesus said to the apostles in Luke chapter 10, "Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me." According to Saint Boniface, in her voyage across the ocean of this world, the church is like a great ship being pounded by the waves of life's different stresses. Our duty is not to abandon ship, but to keep her on course. May our Lord help us remain ever faithful to his church, to aid and defend her.
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions. But what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb. Not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception. Conception.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, One Man Car. I'm a king car. My name is Jesse Romero, retired Los Angeles deputy sheriff, full-time Catholic lay evangelist, lover of Christ, servant of the Blessed Mother, faithful son of Holy Mother Church. So here's the question. Does the devil assign a demon to torment us? That's a good question. The popular book, it's called The Screwtape Letters. It was written back in 1942 by C.S. Lewis, who was a Protestant philosopher, I think an Anglican philosopher. He essentially argues in that book that Satan's primary mission is to lead us away from God by any means necessary. So in that book, obviously it's like religious satire. C.S. Lewis writes the book from a viewpoint of a senior demon who's instructing his nephew, an inferior demon, on how to tempt humans. I think the senior demon, the junior demon is named Wormwood. And so it's a discipling of a superior demon to an inferior demon. That's what the whole book is all about. And so the book also, it centers on the concept that while God assigns a guardian angel to each individual person, C.S. Lewis basically shows in the book that Satan must similarly assign a particular demon to counteract the angel's guidance. So it's an interesting idea, but it is a Catholic idea, and one that has a lot of truth behind it. In fact, I've heard exorcists in the Catholic Church lecture on this topic. All the top exorcists of this country, in their lectures, I've heard them say that just as we have guardian angels assigned to us, Satan likewise assigns a demon, not only to a person, but often to an entire family. And so lesser demons are sent to tempt and open the door to higher demonic realms. So that's Catholic teaching from professors of exorcism in our country and over in Rome as well. It only makes sense because the devil wants to imitate God, ape God. St. Augustine says that. And so if God assigns us an angel, then it stands to reason that the devil also sends a demon to attack every single one of us, as is taught by exorcists in the Catholic Church, professors of exorcism, and also it's taught by C.S. Lewis in this book, Screwtape Letters. The Catechism of the Church explains that Satan was not alone in his rebellion against God. It's in paragraph 414. It says that Satan or the devil and the other demons are fallen angels who have freely refused to serve God and his plan. And their choice against God is definitive. They can't change their mind. They try to associate man in their revolt against God. And Satan's fall is further narrated in the book of Revelation, where St. John writes, quote, "He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him." Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. So what's that say? The fallen angels, called unclean spirits or called demons, where are they at? They're here on planet Earth. Now, beyond that, little is definitively known about the devil. There's a lot of scriptures. There are a lot of passages in the Bible that allude to the devil. But it's a truth of the Catholic faith that Satan and his demons exist. But the number of demons and whether Satan assigns them to particular human beings, again, that's theological speculation. It's not in Scripture, but it's definitely taught by the great minds of the Catholic Church in the field of exorcism today. But biblically speaking, it may be the case that multiple demons are actively trying to lead us away from God. When you read the Gospel of Mark, for example, Jesus performs an exorcism of a possessed man and discovers a legion of demons. That's in Mark chapter 5, verse 9. A legion. So what's a legion? Well, a Roman legion at the time of Jesus was between 3,000 and 5,000 soldiers. So that means at the very least that there was 3,000 demons were tormenting this one individual. That's, I don't know about you, but that's quite a number of demons to be inhabiting a human body. And also, we see in Mark chapter 16, verse 9, Mary Magdalene, who we now call Saint Mary Magdalene, in an episode, she's briefly mentioned in Scripture. She also cast, our Lord Jesus Christ cast out seven demons from her. So, what we see in these two passages of the legion of demons in the Gospel of Mark, and in the case of Mary Magdalene, it tells us that this methodology of assigning a demon to a person seems to correspond with the nature of evil. In other words, evil has a tendency to act like a pack of wolves surrounding their prey. Just like criminals, they operate in packs. Terrorists operate in packs. Anarchists like Black Lives Matter and Antifa operate in packs. You know, outlaw bikers, gang members, black, white, Hispanic, operate in packs. Terrorists, cartels, they all operate in packs. The mafia. But the good news in all of this is that the Catholic Church teaches us is that God is more powerful than any legion of demons. That's the good news. For example, our blessed Lord Jesus Christ mentioned the vast number of good angels at his command when Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 26, verse 53, he says, "Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father? And he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels," close quote. Powerful. Look at what our Lord just said right now. Jesus is saying that the Father can send down as many as 60,000 angels to help him right now. And the good news is that we always have our guardian angel at our side. But God can send, he can send down more angels to us if we call out to him in our time of need, because all the angels are at God's disposal. So even if a particular demon is assigned to tempt us or torment us, again, we have no cause to fear demons when we're living in close union with God, when we're living in a state of grace. As St. Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans, in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, he says, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" Don't worry about like, oh no, a demon is assigned to me. Who cares? We have a guardian angel assigned to us as well. And the most exorcists teach this as well. This is also biblical theology, that the most inferior angel in the kingdom of God is more powerful than the superior demons in the kingdom of darkness. Okay? So what do we know about angels? Well, we know, like, for example, the book of Judges, it repeatedly speaks about angels being sent by God to his people. You see that in Judges chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. So how are we to understand these and similar other biblical accounts as references to real supernatural beings or simply as visions? How are we supposed to understand this? Is this real or is this just a phantasm? No. Both scripture and the tradition of the church repeatedly affirm that God has in fact created non-human angelic beings to be his agents, to be his warriors, to be his messengers. And they work for us, the human beings, to get us to heaven. These angels, they're personal, they're immortal, they have a rational intellect, they have a free will, yet they're pure spirits. They don't have bodies like ours. And they surpass us. Angels surpass us in perfection. They surpass all visible creatures in perfection, as is evident by their splendor. Like when you read it in Psalm 103, verses 20 to 21, the splendor of these angels. But nevertheless, redeemed human beings like us will one day be perfected in such a way that even the angels will be subject to us at the end of time. That's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3, that even we will judge the angels. And obviously he's talking about the fallen angels at that point, the demons. Angels have been present since creation, and they've played a critical role in salvation history from the fall of man to the very present moment. And in various ways, the angels carry out God's divine plan. They did it back in the Old Testament. And when God became man in Jesus Christ, they surrounded him, the God-man, and served him throughout his earthly life, from his conception up to the very moment of his ascension into heaven. And the angels, they will also announce his return to the earth at the end of time and they're going to serve him as he judges the earth. Yeah, the angels are going to blow trumpets when Christ is coming down from heaven at the second coming. They're going to announce him, and then they're going to serve him as his soldiers forever. So what are angels? Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14 says, angels are ministering spirits sent to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation. So that's what they're called to do. They're ministering spirits sent to serve human beings by God for the sake of those of us who are to inherit salvation. Angels also join the Catholic Church in her worship and ministry. Angels serve as guardians, intercessors, and guides. And with the saints in heaven, the angels behold the face of God and enjoy the eternal life of the Blessed Trinity. How powerful is that? And finally, the Bible says that the Bible speaks of various angelic hierarchies and provides the names of three particular angels. We celebrated their feast day yesterday. Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. They're called, called archangels. Archangels. And as Catholics, the good news is this, is that Holy Mother Church has given us a prayer to summon our guardian angel every single day. And it goes like this. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom the love of God commits me here, be ever this day at my sight to light, to guard, to rule, and to guide. So what do angels do? They're here to help us. They're here to light our path, to light, give us illumination, to guard us, to rule us towards heaven, and to guide us. That's what they're here for. God has sent a guardian angel to every single one of us. Pray to your guardian angel every morning and every evening and throughout the day. And you can even ask your guardian angel, say, guardian angel, can you speak to my children's guardian angel? And can you have their guardian angels light their path, guard them, rule them, and guide them towards heaven? In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. We'll be going on to another topic. Does the devil and demons really exist? I want to just broach that in a second. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code, the MPR, to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR, live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
If you shop on Amazon.com, there's an easy way to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Just visit smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center under the desired charity. Now, when you log into your Amazon account and purchase products, a portion of it will automatically go to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio at no cost to you. Thanks in advance for supporting CRC and VMPR, and may God richly bless you and your family.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, one-man car. My name is Jesse Romero. And this is a Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. We talk about Catholic spiritual warfare. And this is, as Catholics, whether you know it or not, the moment that you were born and baptized, you entered into spiritual warfare, because now we are on unholy ground, planet Earth. It's a battle. All you could just take a look at the politics and what's happening in our country with the anarchist and the anti-Catholic bigotry. This is a battle. This is a camp of Satan. And as Catholics, some people don't realize. They'll say, well, I don't even think the devil and demons really exist. Really? Just read your Bible and you can see, for example, in the story of Job. You see the story of Job. It tells how Satan asked God for a chance to test Job. That's what demons do. They test us. Or another word for test is tempt. It's the same thing in the Greek. Test and tempt are the same words in the Greek New Testament. And so in Job chapter 1, verses 6 to 12, we see that the devil asked God permission to tempt or test Job. So how are we to understand this? Are we supposed to understand this as symbolic, as a symbolic reference to evil? Or do demons have a real existence as personal but not human? Scripture, tradition, and the church's magisterium, they all consistently affirm that God has in fact created angels to serve him. And some of the angels made a radical and irrevocable decision to reject God and his reign. You can read Jude chapter 6. Though they were created good by God, they became evil by their own choice. So they were cast from his presence in heaven, as it says in Luke chapter 10, verse 18, and now they attempt to seduce human beings away from God as well through temptation. As we see in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 7, the temptation of Eve, and she succumbed to it, and so did Adam. So the leader of these fallen angels or demons, they have many names in Scripture. One of them, the names of the devil, is the Evil One. We see that name in 1 John chapter 5, verses 18 to 19. Another name is the devil. The devil, there's a Greek word which means the one who throws himself across the divine plan. Devil means in Greek, the one who throws himself across the divine plan. In other words, he's trying to destroy God's plan of salvation history. The devil's also called the ruler of the world in John chapter 14, verse 30. The ruler of the world. The devil's also called Satan, and in Hebrew that means the adversary or the accuser. He's also called the serpent or dragon in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And the name Lucifer means light bearer. That comes from Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 15. And that traditionally refers to the devil's radiant angelic beauty before he fell. And by the way, we reject, renounce, and rebuke all these names that I just mentioned in Jesus' mighty, holy, precious name. Go to the foot of the cross that Jesus Christ may do with you as he wills. Mother Mary, Virgin most powerful, crush this infernal spirit under your immaculate feet. Amen. So, the great power and intelligence that belongs to angels by their nature, it's now perverted for wicked purposes by the diabolical rebellion against God. So it allows the demons to do great evil in the world because they've retained their angelic powers. Nevertheless, they're just mere creatures. and they're by no means equal to God. That's a heresy. Anybody who would pit God and Satan as polar opposites, that's the heresy of dualism. We know that these demons, these fallen angels, these unclean spirits, in the end, their utter defeat is sure through Jesus Christ. It's for sure. But in the meantime, except perhaps in the case of a genuine demonic possession, which is rare. And why is demonic possession rare? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why demons don't like to possess people common, often. They use everything else other than that. Obsession, oppression, infestation, temptation all day long. They don't like to use possession. Why? If there was a lot of people that were demonically possessed, you know what would happen? The churches would be full. People would run to church. People would give their life to Jesus, surrender their lives to Jesus. They'd be going back to the sacraments and prayer and the rosary. The devil doesn't want to do that. That's why he limits possession. It's rare. Because it would fill the churches up. We'd have to have mass in football stadiums if possession was common. So he conceals that. He uses that. He doesn't like to use possession. It's very rare. Because he doesn't want to manifest himself. He doesn't want to show his cards. He doesn't want people to say, oh no, I made a big mistake. I'm going back to Jesus. I'm going back to God. And in fact, God is so amazing, as it says in Romans 8:28, that God will even use possession to purify the actual victim and to make them holy and prepare them for heaven if they obviously cooperate with God's grace. So, human beings can't be forced by Satan against their will, because the devil's tactics or demon's tactics instead, they're simply, this is what he does constantly all the time, tempt, deceive, and accuse. That's the threefold attack of Satan: temptation, deception, and accusations in your mind, accusations. That's found in Romans chapter 4, verses 1 to 11, Revelation 12, 9 to 10, Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 to 2. For that reason, our Lord has taught us to pray, the Our Father, deliver us from the evil one. The Our Father is a deliverance prayer, a.k.a. a minor exorcism prayer. Let me move on now to something else that's actually very current. I'm looking at an article here. It says, the death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg pushed me to join the Satanic Temple. Talk about a person with a malformed conscience. This is a lawyer. Her name is Jamie Smith. She says she's a lawyer, and she wrote this article. She says she's a civil rights attorney and a mother, and she's got her email there as well. So this article was put out by the Huffington Post, kind of a leftist media organization. But this is what I've always been telling my audience, is that there's two teams on planet Earth. You got Team Jesus, and you've got Team Satan. Two teams on planet Earth. In fact, the Bible is very clear about this. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible says, by this it may be seen who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not do right is not of God. Whoever does not love his brother, nor he who does not love his brother. So there's two teams according to the Bible. Children of God, children of the devil. Or as St. Augustine would say, the city of man versus the city of God. Or as the Dead Sea Scrolls would say, the sons of light and the sons of darkness. Or as St. Ignatius of Loyola would say, the camp of Satan and the camp of Christ. Or as John Paul II would say, St. John Paul II, the church versus the anti-church. Or as Venerable Fulton Sheen would say, the comradeship of Antichrist and the brotherhood of Christ. Two teams out there on planet Earth. This lawyer Jamie Smith is letting us know whose team she's on. Here's what she says. I'm a 40-year-old attorney and a mother who lives in a quiet neighborhood with a yard and a garage full of scooters and soccer balls. I'm not the type of person who would normally consider becoming a Satanist, but these are not normal times. She says, I often walk with my children to get ice cream and spend weekends hiking through a national park. I'm not the type of person who would normally consider becoming a Satanist, but these are not normal times. Talk about a malformed conscience, malformed, deformed. She writes, like so many other women in the United States, when I learned of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg's passing away, my first reaction was not of grief, but fear. I fear that American citizens are inching closer to living in a theocracy or dictatorship, and that the checks and balances and that the checks meant to prevent this from happening are close to eroding beyond repair. So this attorney's a committed secular humanist, a godless woman, what St. Paul calls the natural person. And she says, okay, this country is moving towards God. I'm going to become a Satanist so I can fight against this these powers that are moving this country towards God. She writes, when Justice Ginsburg died, I immediately knew that action was needed on a scale we've not seen before. Our democracy has become so fragile that the loss of one of the last guardians of common sense. Wow, she calls Ruth Bader Ginsburg the guardian of common sense and decency in government less than 2 months before a pivotal election has put our civil and reproductive rights in danger like never before. And so I have turned to Satanism. Are you kidding me? This woman may have a law degree, but she has no common sense. Her name's Jamie Smith. I pray for her conversion. God help her. God help this soul. She says members of the Satanic Temple do not believe in the supernatural superstition in the same way that some Unitarians and some Jews do not believe in God. Satanic Temple members do not worship Satan, and most are atheists. It says, instead, the Satanic Temple uses the devil as a symbol of rebellion. Here's the danger. Though some of these Satanists may say, well, you know, it's just a symbol of rebellion, the devil or Satan, but we don't really believe in the devil. Really? So they claim they don't believe in the devil. Guess what? The devil believes in them. And if they're invoking his name, whether they know it or not, they're invoking his power. You're listening to Jesus 911. It just shows us the darkness of our society. Education does not equal morality. This is a lawyer that says, I'm going to give my life to Satan because Ruth Bader Ginsburg may get replaced by a pro-lifer. We'll be right back. We got Ernesto from Long Beach.
You know, I just wanted to comment, you know, and I just wanted to thank you guys. And I kind of wanted to encourage people that are listening, maybe that are not donating, you know, because honestly, I got to be honest. I used to think you guys were a little
too over the top,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. You
That's
know,
right.
If God gave us a lot, you know, and I have the blessing of listening to all this, I just want to call all the people, you know, I've got 5 kids, you know, and I don't make a lot of money, and I'm still donating to you guys.
God bless you, brother. You're amazing.
We have to do this. We have to do the extra. And it's not even the extra. People see it like it's extra. Kneeling for communion, saying your rosary, saying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It is not extra. It's what the church tells us to do.
Amen. You're a good man, brother.
30 years old, 29 years old. 5 kids, and I thank you guys. But everybody else, man, get on fire. Fight for the truth, man. I know what I'm telling you guys. There's
I love it.
Out there.
Psalm 119 says, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path. According to St. John Paul II, being a Christian means saying yes to Jesus Christ. It consists in surrendering to the Word of God and relying on it, but also endeavoring to know better and better the profound meaning of this Word. May God grant that we always rely on His Word, read it often, and put it into practice.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
St. Michael the Archangel, pray for us. St. Joseph, Terror of Demons, pray for us. Virgin, most powerful, pray for us. Today's also the feast day of St. Jerome, pray for us. Church Father. There's an article written by a cat, I don't know if she's Catholic, she didn't say. She's a lawyer, a mom, and her name is Jamie Smith. She writes this op-ed piece, she's a guest writer, for Huffington Post, which is kind of a leftist organization. And the article is called "The Death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg Pushed Me to Join the Satanic Temple." So she writes this: even before Ginsburg's death, the Supreme Court was unwilling to provide adequate protection for a woman's right to choose and to control her body. The court was unwilling to keep the church and state separate. Now, without her voice of reason on the court, so she calls Ruth Bader Ginsburg's voice and a voice of reason in the court. The most pro-abortion, pro-leftist Supreme Court justice. She just passed away. May God have mercy on her soul. This lawyer writes, let alone her vote, Roe versus Wade is in imminent danger of being overturned, not based on legal arguments or scientific reasoning, but because of religious objections to what is a safe and necessary procedure for the woman who seek it out after discussion with their physician. Ginsburg replacement is all but certain to be vehemently anti-choice, with one of the top contenders belonging to a sect. So notice what this 40-year-old female attorney, and mother, I don't know how many kids she has, a civil rights attorney, she just called the Catholic Church a sect, S-E-C-T, which means just some little, denomination there, off the corner somewhere. She called the largest Christian church in the world, started by Jesus Christ himself, the one true church. She just called the Catholic Church a religious sect. And she writes, in the hours after Justice Ginsburg's death, I sat wondering what the future would hold for my daughters. So she at least has two daughters, because she's the word plural. Their ability to live in a country where the religious beliefs of others would not play a role in the right to assert autonomy over their own bodies was suddenly starkly in danger. So she's saying, oh no, my daughters can't have access to an abortion in the future if Amy Coney Barrett wins. And, there's a lot of things that have to happen. She has to be nominated, which I think she will. The votes are there. And then a case that touches on Roe versus Wade has to come up to the court. And then they have to rule on it. And hopefully, you never know, political pressure, threats, you never know what happens. Hopefully, you get a majority of justices that strike down Roe versus Wade. And I think once that happens, there will be open civil war in the streets. I'm talking open civil war like we saw when this country started between the North and the South over the issue of slavery. The Democrats who were promoting slavery wanted to continue the institution of slavery, and the Republicans who fought to abolish it. We will see war on the streets because this, for the left, it's something holy. It's sacrosanct. I know it's an unholy act. I get that. But for them, it's like their holy grail. It's the most important thing that they have is abortion. So she writes, traditional means of keeping abortion safe and legal seemed woefully inadequate to protect the rights that women in the generation before me had fought so hard to secure. Again, here's my comment. This is, and I'm using the word loosely, obviously, this is like the sacrament of the left. Okay. The ability is something so holy for them. We can't, abortion, and they can't have anybody touch it. And nobody can touch it or question abortion. It's, for them, the most sacrosanct thing that they have. And the left is willing to die on this hill. And this is what this election is all about. Trump, it's about the issue of Roe versus Wade in the future by the election of another Supreme Court justice. This election is for all of the marbles. This lawyer writes, this malformed lawyer, God have mercy on her soul for what she's writing. She says, about the satanic organization that she's joined up. She says, this is an organization, the Temple of Satan. I want standing up for my rights and for my daughters. She says, well, I support more mainstream groups like the American Civil Liberties Union and Americans United for Church and State. My research has shown that the Satanic Temple is truly in line with my beliefs about protecting our First Amendment rights and fighting laws that promote or are based on religious doctrine, and that it is willing to use radical, creative, and yet legally sound strategies to make its case. In other words, you can see her admission. She's admitting, and she's a liberal, okay? Without a doubt, she's voting for Joe Biden. She hates Donald Trump. She's a Democrat, and she's basically admitting that her Democrat policy party platforms are consistent with the party platforms of the Satanic Temple. They are. Yep. If you look at the Satanic Temple's platforms, the number one thing is pro-abortion. This is right in line with their counterparts, the Democrat Party. That's their number one plank, is pro-abortion, the right to for a woman to kill her baby. She writes this, malformed Jamie Smith, this attorney and mother who cares about, she says she cares about civil rights. And again, I pray for her conversion. God have mercy on her, Lord. Convert her, Lord. Bring her, let her see Jesus. Let her see Jesus. She writes, we need creative, resolute thinkers who are willing to stand up for what they believe in and take concrete action to do so. And the Satanic Temple is full of those kind of people. She says, Jamie Smith says, I am proud to now count myself among their ranks. As I told you before, Satanism is out in the open now, completely out in the open. She says, there's a real chance that the Supreme Court will be lost for a generation or more to justices appointed for their religious beliefs, rather than a deep understanding of the Constitution or a desire for justice to be carried out on an impartial basis. Because of this, I believe that the Satanic Temple and its members' dedication to fighting for true freedom represents our best last defense against anti-choice lawmakers who are seeking to assert power over women's bodies and take away our right to choose. We need creative, resolute thinkers who are willing to stand up for what they believe in and take concrete actions to do so. And the Satanic Temple is full of those kind of people. I am proud to now count myself among their ranks, says Jamie Smith, a mother of two and an attorney, a civil rights attorney. She writes, everyone who cares about women having autonomy over their bodies should, remember the Bible says our bodies belong to God. Again, this is what happens when you have a malformed conscience and you have power and authority like an attorney. She says, our bodies belong to us. No, the Bible says our bodies belong to God. Therefore, glorify your God in your body. See, she's a lawyer that has influence writing for the Huffington Post. But when you have a malformed conscience, you're able to spread your errors to a lot of people, because a lot of people don't know what the Bible teaches. The Bible says our bodies belong to the Lord. That's what we're supposed to take care of our bodies, because one day we're going to see God and he's going to resurrect this body that he gave us. And even with not only in our intellect and in our interior, but our body has to glorify the things of God and the way we treat it. She writes, we need to think outside the box to challenge what is coming, what is already here. The Satanic Temple is already doing that. And by becoming one of its members, Jamie Smith, and this attorney writes, I believe I've joined a community of people who will stop at nothing to safeguard my family's rights and all of our rights when they are at their most vulnerable. Close quote. So here's my comment. The Church of Satan and the Democrat Party have an identical party platform. They hold in common many of the same issues, most especially abortion. That's their holy grail. And basically, abortion is a satanic sacrament. Yep. Now, remember, Satanists like to parody. They like to imitate God. They like to parody God. And they like to parody anything that's good with a vicious, evil counterpart. And they love to pervert things that are good and turn them to evil. Abortion allows Satanists to do these things. It allows Satanists and secularists and progressives and liberals to promote free sex, something they do frequently without consequences. It allows them to taunt mainstream Christianity, which is somewhat, you know, we're not as strong against abortion as we should be. And it also brings them back to their ultimate pagan roots, because abortion is Baal worship. It's the Baal worship of Canaan and Phoenicia, where they featured their regular child sacrifice. And that child sacrifice happened in Greek and in Roman religion. And this is what they want to return us back to. They want to take us back to these demon gods. And so in an ultimate sense, abortion is a satanic sacrament, because it enables people to worship themselves. The me, myself, and I do what I want with my body. And since the temple of Satan, they say that they have an atheistic worldview, their support for abortion makes perfect sense. After all, atheism is essentially the worship of self. And so the temple of Satan, the church of Satan, some of them that claim to be atheistic satanic groups, they actually admit that they worship themselves on their websites. And so for a woman to worship herself, it's easy to see how a child might become an inconvenience, because she's going to have to walk around heavy for 9 months and wake up at all hours of the night to care for a child, and then devote 18 years of her life to this care. But for a selfish self-worshipper, a secular humanist, that's far too much. But for a true Satan worshiper, they view the act as a service to Satan, killing the baby, an offering of sorts to their deity. And there's a saying, you got to learn from history or you're going to be doomed to repeat it. Most people have not done the former, therefore we're doing the latter. Our culture is decaying into the Canaanite culture that Israel destroyed. God help us. St. Padre Pio says, pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry is useless. God is merciful, and God will hear your prayer. Hey, that's pretty much a wrap. If you like what you hear, then like us, hit the subscribe button, hit the bell, and be notified, and share this show with other people. This is Catholic Spiritual Warfare, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. By the way, Dan and Kyle are professors as well, and so school has started for them. So I'll have them on sporadically whenever I can get them, whenever they're not teaching actual college coursework. But you can always count on your brother in Christ, Jesse Romero. I'll always be here. Hey, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays with my beloved wife, Anita, on Fridays. But Kyle and Dan, they'll be PRN as needed whenever I can get them out of their college classroom settings. You're listening to Jesus 911. Up next, the big guy, Gary Machuda, hands-on apologetics, coming from the Midwest Command Center. Hey, wake up, America. Don't hit the snooze button. Jesus is coming back one day, or you're going to die and see him. And make sure that before you die, you leave it all out on the field. I'm out. 10-7. Up next, Gary Machuda. God bless you. Keep the faith.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.